Shalom, and welcome to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. This is a recording of a Passover teaching by Rabbi Adam Kligfeld and by Rabbi Cantor Hilary Chorney.
Everyone, welcome to this mini service we're offering as the community still tries to figure out its overall policy regarding live streaming and Zooming on Shabbat and Yontif. It's complicated on the days that we combine with the library minion. Some of the days we do live stream it, some of the days we don't, as a nod to those who are not comfortable with that. And so on the days that we don't, like today, we do a mini service to make sure that those who are joining from a distance, so we know that at least some of you watching have a taste of community, a taste of prayer, a taste of learning, a taste of singing, and an opportunity to say Kaddish, even if the full liturgy is not being live-streamed. The words we just sang, which were, the tune was composed by Rabbi Yosef Goldman, who's been to Beth Am before, as part of our Kol Tefillah conferences, is a meditation that is often ignored, even by people who take the Omer seriously. Right? There are Jews who don't take the Omer seriously, not a judgment, just a description. There are Jews who take the Omer seriously and they count it or try to count it every day. But like so many things in our ritual and personal life, it becomes just like checking a box as opposed to a moment of even miniature transcendence. And there are these words which our tradition gives to us to try to slide into the moment of counting an Omer as if it's a big moment and that there's something big going on in the cosmos. L'shem Yichud, in the name of the unifying, Kudsha Brichu, the Holy One, Ushchinte, and God's feminine emanation. You don't have to blush, but you can understand what's going on here. We open up saying the counting the Omer, just like we do with several other mitzvot, by basically saying we are saying a ritual that is supposed to invite, celebrate, be witness to celestial intimacy, right? Male, female, celestial intimacy, that they come together. In order to do that, Hinei Muchan, I'm making myself ready, umuzuman, and present. I'm not just going to flippantly say it. Lekayem mitzvat aseh, to observe a positive commandment, shel sfirat omer, of counting the omer. And then you have these in the words below in English, but not in the Hebrew. The song continues, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tiena. This is from the verses from Parshat Amor that we read on the second day of Pesach, saying that we're supposed to count seven complete weeks. As with anything, even if you say this meditation too much, it can become rote. And then if you added a meditation before that, so that this meditation would not become rote, if you said that pre-meditation too much, it would become rote. That is the paradox, that's the bugaboo of spiritual life, of intimate life. But the tradition wants us to imagine that even something as small as moving from 1 to 2, or 2 to 3, or 3 to 4, or as one of our colleagues has said, adding the number plus 199, so that we're counting both the days of the Omer and the days of captivity for our brethren and our sisters in hostage, that even that moment has the opportunity to create worlds, to unite worlds, can be something grand for us and even grand on a realm we can't fathom. Now, as many people know who participate in some of my meditations, when we're in the counting of the Omer, I orient my meditations to the particular sub-day of the Omer that we're in. There's a Kabbalistic overlay of the 7 weeks, each of the 7 weeks representing one of the Sfirot, one of God's emanations. And then each day of each week is a subset of that emanation. So the first Sfira that we focus on in the Kabbalistic counting the Omer is Chesed, which is understood in Kabbalistic terms not to mean loving kindness or compassion as you normally understand it, but pure love. And today we're in the sixth day of the Omer, which means we are in Yesod Shebachesed. Yesod is a Hebrew word which means foundation, basis. What it means Kabbalistically is bonding, mutuality. And the linkage between those ideas is that when there is true mutuality, that is the basis of a stable relationship, any relationship, marital, friend, sibling, and even spiritual. So this entire week we're supposed to be thinking about and acting out the divine aspect of chesed, of love. But on this day, we're supposed to be doing it in a way that highlights yesod shebachesed, the part of love that is fully mutual. This is subtly different than the meditation I led on Friday when we were in a day that was about full giving to the other and fully generous loving without thinking of our own needs and even loving those who are hard to love. That's a part of love too. But there's also a part of love that requires of each person in the loving bond to be totally committed to mutuality and reciprocity and turning two stalks into one that becomes a foundation for a great plant. So if you like, I invite you to close your eyes and place your feet flat on the floor in front of you so you have full contact with the earth, that you have yesod with the earth. And the spirit of mutuality, you can feel not only that the earth is hugging you down with gravity, but that you're pulling up on it. And from the perspective of physics, you are on some level. You are exerting gravity also upon the earth. And try to hold your position with intention and alertness and wakefulness, but also a sense of serene rest as you claim the quiet that's being offered to you in this space. And you breathe as a luxury. And you aim not for sleep, but a different kind of being alive and awake than you were even 5 minutes ago. And let your mind wander to whatever comes to your mind when you hear these words in Hebrew or in English. Yesod Shebachesed, the mutuality of love, the fairness, the sharing, love of all types, romantic, familial, friend, and perhaps even if your mind can go there, the love of the spiritual world between us and the Creator, where we become Shechintei, we become God's feminine essence, which is associated with Knesset Yisrael, the community of Israel, and that we are longing for union with Kudsha Brichu, the Holy One, and that God is longing for union with us. Even if the image seems off and silly, just lean into it and breathe into a possibility that Yesod Shebachesed can be offered and experienced with one another. And even with the heavens, what do you offer in your relationships of Yesod Shebachesed? And what do you need, with no apology and no embarrassment, when that can be articulated and shared? That's Yesod Shebachesed.
Yeah. still have your eyes closed, that's perfect, because I was going to ask that before you turn over the page, that you could share with me some things that we might be counting up to or counting down to with great excitement during the Omer. If you think of one, just call it out and I'll echo. Counting up with joy and counting down with joy.
Well, when I don't shave during the Omer and my practice goes back and forth, my wife certainly counts down to the day when I can.
Right, counting down to the day when you can go back to your regularly clipped and shaven, maybe the haircuts are on the list too.
It means summer's coming.
The day of study, well, the night of study.
Counting towards the great El Tikkun Shavuot, this Tikkun of this fixed night of study on the night of Shavuot, which comes at the end of our count.
Summer's coming. School's over.
Summer is coming. The seasonality. So we're counting towards that summertime.
A time of greater joy when after a Lag BaOmer and thereafter you can get married. Mm-hmm.
A time when you can return to wedding season, which is not quite the same as summer season. A time on the Jewish calendar that permits us universally to be married. Anything else? Well, according to the earliest parts of our rabbinic tradition, in the Mishnah and into the Talmud, there are two count-ups or countdowns that are happening simultaneously. The one that's fixed from the Torah and emanates from the earliest sources is an agrarian sensibility and excitement for the harvest. We don't live in the time or the place where this is something that we rely on for our being nourished or our having parnasah, having an income. But imagine the nervous but excited count to being able to harvest for the next season. It's a count towards sustainability for a society. And then on top of that, we've added a layer that the rabbis have worked out in our calendar, that this is indeed a count to Shavuot, not just the night of, but the notion that we're going to be receiving something wonderful, receiving a sense of peoplehood. Some great drashot out there about the notion of receiving responsibility and that move from freedom to a place of responsibility. And anybody who can recall with somewhat fresh memory what it was like the first time that you were allowed to cross the street alone, the first time you were allowed to stay home alone or watch a sibling, all of that responsibility that comes, yes, it's responsibility. Most of us are deep in adulthood, but there's also an excitement about the responsibility that we're allowed to take in the world. The Torah is ours. The world is ours. We have to take responsibility for it. So there is great discord and a sense of odd clashing when it comes to the customs that we have between the moments of count and the Omer. Because perhaps you can imagine that from night to night, we count with a great deal of excitement. Excited that we're now free and we're still counting the days. It's only been one day, just like after you get married. I've been married for one day, for one week, for one month. Eventually, you hope that you remember 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Right? And so we're free 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. And we're 1 day closer to getting Torah, 2 days closer to Torah. That's the emotional moment that we're in when we're counting. But between the counting, as Rabbi Klickfeld mentioned, we're not shaving. And we're not getting haircuts. And we're not going to live concerts. And all of these things are connected to the practices of Avelut. I've been dwelling a lot in this notion of the interplay between Avelut and Moed festival seasons, because the Siyum, that tractate that we just finished for the morning of rabbinic study on the day of Erev Pesach, was Moed Katan. And Moed Katan is an amazing tractate that I can't get too deeply into, didn't even have space in my Yisro Josh for, but beautifully written by Ben Greenstein in an essay for Hadar's annual Rabbinic Studies Prize this year, that it plays with Aval and Evel or Avelut. That as we read through the tractate, there's this weird and almost fun interplay between what is Avelut and what is exceptionality. In other words, festivals are a time where we experience through joy a disruption in the regularity of our lives. Avelut is the exact opposite, a disruption in the regularity of our lives, but not for joy, rather for grief. And these two things also collide with one another. And the Omer is a time of that collision also, because here we have a set of practices of Avelut that were fixed after those first two layers were fixed, after the agrarian layer, the celebration of the harvest, after this notion that we are counting down or counting up to the receipt of Torah. Then there was another layer, and it was fixed in a time of enormous woe, a time when Jews who were able to hear news from around the world knew and understood that a great body of students of a great teacher were suffering, that Rome was winning, and it was a time of loss for the Jewish people, which meant that it was a time of not hope, a time of perhaps pessimism. Still, Rabbi Shai Held was a great Jewish modern contemporary, now Jewish thinker and teacher, wonders out loud, what is it really that we're mourning when we are counting the Omer? And I find his answer compelling in that we still practice mourning practices during the Omer, even when we're in times of great joy. Even the year of 1948, when we were celebrating that finally we were reunified in a modern state of Israel, still the mourning practices were there during the Omer. So it can't be that we're commanded every year to bring ourselves to a completely mournful place out of a sense of worry that's present in our lives day to day. So what could it be that's so enduring about these mourning practices during the Omer? Here's his answer. It's on the back of your sheet. This is the end of a longer essay, which was published this year in the Pesach supplement by Hadar.
Which there are copies of downstairs if you want to take.
Right. So if you want to find the fuller essay, this is excerpted from. It's in those greenish, I think, booklets that are downstairs. So why do Jews mourn when we count the Omer? As we've seen, for Jewish theology, the Exodus is, in a sense, built into the universe. At any rate, the fact that God has risen up to liberate God's people instills the hope and the confidence that God will do so again. No claim could be more comforting to a people downtrodden by implacable foes. But now imagine Rabbi Akiva's students afflicted by a merciless enemy, Rome, or I'll insert here other eras of students that were afflicted by disease or other afflictions throughout history. In the case of Rabbi Akiva's students, they take God's promise into their own hands, they attempt to cast off the yoke of oppression, and they fail spectacularly. God is silent, seemingly unmoved either by their suffering or by their longing. The Exodus may be a paradigm for how Jewish history is supposed, indeed destined, to look, but for now, tragically, inexplicably, history makes a mockery of that paradigm. Rome is triumphant, a renewed Exodus remains, but a dim hope. And so we mourn. We mourn because our experience falls so unbearably short of the redemption we have been promised and assured will come. There is a stunning degree of audacity and honesty in starting to grieve as Pesach begins, because in fundamental respects, Pesach resides in the future rather than the present, and yet grief does not have the final or even the loudest word, because we affirm that the God who redeemed us once will, despite all evidence to the contrary, redeem us a second time. Here's what I take from that essay. I do think that in many paradigms in our lives, relationships, jobs, new beginnings at college, new beginnings of parenthood, new beginnings of anything, new cities that we move to, new stages in our life begin with a honeymoon, and inevitably there is the disappointment that what you thought was promised to you is not the reality that you are experiencing. On a cosmic level, the greatest example of this is the promise of Exodus that wasn't sustained. And, as Rabbi Held finishes, it's incomplete to simply mourn that you don't have what was. It must be completed by its counterpart of hope. the Omer is a season of acknowledging that even the best things that are promised to us in life have deep imperfection, and also acknowledging that those best things are worth hoping and working towards a redemption of. That is the cycle of humanity. Return to the nigun of counting the Omer.
Ya da da ya 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 da da ya 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 da na ya na ya ya na da na na ya da da ya. Shabrichu ushchintei Hineni mochan umezuman Lekayem mitzvat ha'asei Shel svirat ha'omer Shel svirat ha'omer Shel svirat ha'omer, shel svirat ha'omer, sheva shabbatot temimot tiyena, sheva shabbatot. Temimot tiyena.
Go back to the main service. We'll rise for Morner's Kaddish for anyone who needs to say Kaddish.
Yitgadal v'yitgadash t'mei rabah.
Amen.
V'yalma d'ibrach yirutei v'yamlich malchutei v'chayechon v'yomechon uv'chayei d'chol beit Yisrael v'agala v'izman kari v'imru.
Amen.
Yesh t'mei rabah v'rach v'yalam v'yalmei omayah.
Yitbarach, Yitshabach, Yitpa'ar, Yitramam, Yitnase, Yitadar, Yitalev, Yitalal, Shemed Kudashab, Ve'ela, Minkol Birchata, Vishirata, Tushbechata, Venechamata, Damiran, Be'alma, Vimru,
Amen.
Yehe, Shlama, Rabba, Min Shemaya, Bechaim, Alenu, Vialko Yisrael, Vimru,
Amen.
Ose Shalom, Ruma. We ase shalom, aleinu bialko Yisrael, bimru,
amen.
You have been listening to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. If you enjoy these podcasts, we invite you to write a review on the Apple Podcast site or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Temple Beth Am, Los Angeles, go to tbala.org.